The state fire marshal makes a conclusion on the Westmark fire in Skagway earlier this year, and the U.S. isn't holding up its end of a 30-year-old deal to keep the Alaska Highway maintained. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. A state fire marshal has determined a March fire that destroyed a Westmark Inn building in Skagway was intentionally set. The fire was investigated by Deputy Fire Marshal Bob Plum from Juneau. He said Thursday he completed his report a few months ago. He said while he didn't determine exactly how the fire started, he found enough evidence to point to the conclusion that someone used an open flame to intentionally ignite combustible material. The fire started in a room of an unoccupied wing of the hotel where renovations were taking place. The 600 wing normally houses summer employees. Skagway faced a housing shortage this season since those 151 units were destroyed in the fire. Adjacent offices and a storefront were also damaged in the blaze. Skagway Fire Chief Jeremy Simmons said Thursday the fire seemed suspicious at the time crews responded because it extended farther than a fire normally would without assistance. Skagway Mayor Stan Selmer said he was concerned that the fire was found to be intentionally set. But he said Skagway Fire Department's impressive response kept the fire from destroying a larger part of the historic district.
Just to see them in action and doing what they needed to do to prevent that from taking over that whole end of town was spectacular performance.
Fire Marshal Plum said he's been working with law enforcement to investigate, but they don't have enough information to identify any suspects or warrant an arrest. If you've driven the Northern Alaska Highway or heard stories from people who have recently, you probably know it's desolate, rough, and still has several patches of gravel. But it's a sort of main artery for the state and the only land connection between Alaska and Southeast and the lower 48. Maintaining the road is no easy task and far from inexpensive. The Arctic climate makes permafrost a constant nemesis of the road surface. And for more than 30 years, the U.S. and Canada have worked cooperatively to maintain it. But in a bit of a twist to that arrangement, the U.S. has not designated any funding recently to keep up its end of the deal. That section of road is officially called the Shakwak Highway, after the Tlingit word for between the mountains. It covers about 325 miles, including a segment from the Canada border near Haines to Haines Junction, where it meets up with the Alaska Highway, and north to the Alaska border near Beaver Creek. In 1977, the U.S. and Canada signed the Shakwak Agreement. The U.S. agreed to pay the cost of reconstructing the highway to a, quote, pavement standard, and Canada agreed to maintain the highway toll-free after reconstruction. Over the years, the U.S. allocated funds for the reconstruction through the Federal Highway Transportation Bill. Most of the work has been completed, but there are still sections of work needed, totaling about one-third of the entire stretch, where reconstruction to a pavement standard is not complete, and therefore the responsibility of the U.S. Yukon officials, like Assistant Deputy Minister in the Yukon Department of Highway and Public Works, Alan Nixon, say it wasn't worrisome when U.S. funding for Shakwak ebbed and flowed over the years, depending on Congress. Some years it wasn't allocated any funds and reconstruction halted for a time, but the project always remained in the bill. But this time, Nixon says, it's different. In the most recent bill passed by Congress earlier this year, the Shakwak project was completely removed.
I think we've gone through periods before where there's been reduced funding, and we've managed with that. The uncertainty now is that we don't know that the funding that's required to finish the work is ever going to be there, and that's why we're trying to work with our Alaskan counterparts and people in Washington to, you know, tell the story of the importance of these highways to not only Canada, but to the U.S. as well.
But Alaska officials remain optimistic. Kip Knutson is with Governor Sean Parnell's office in Washington, D.C. He said the fact that the project was removed doesn't mean it will be impossible to get the funding back at some point.
It's inconvenient, but I mean, everything's hard out here, but it doesn't make it impossible. I think what's incumbent upon the state government and the Yukon government is to remind legislators of what the intent of that original agreement was, how it's still valid, and probably has to be upheld. And, you know, as Alaskans, we kind of have to make the case that, by the way, this is our land connection to the continent.
Knudsen said Canada and U.S. federal governments and Yukon and Alaska officials are working to continue the funding. Nixon said in the short term, the Yukon can keep up its end of the agreement with maintenance of the road. But if the U.S. doesn't eventually recommit funds to finish reconstruction, then it can only get more expensive for the Yukon to keep the road maintained.
In the long run, it's going to make repairs, especially in that permafrost section, more difficult to complete. Simply because, you know, we've got limited funds available and limited budgets, and we'll have to spread them around the territory as well. So it will become a bit of a balancing act, but we're not about to abandon the road or make it so it's unsafe. We have an obligation for anybody traveling on it to make it as safe as we possibly can, and we'll continue to do that to the best of our abilities.
Yukon officials point out that while the road runs through Canada, the majority of its use is by U.S. interests, which is what prompted the agreement in the first place. According to figures from Yukon Highways and Public Works, only 600 Canadian residents live on the entire stretch of road. But 85% of the traffic on the road is American, mostly Alaskans traveling between the Panhandle and Interior or tourists visiting Alaska. It also provides commercial transport between the state and Lower 48. It is especially important for transport for residents and ferry visitors in and out of Haines. The Haynesboro Assembly on Tuesday added the Shackwack project to the list of legislative priorities to the state. The Assembly also plans a resolution in support of continued U.S. funding of the project in January. Knudsen said Governor Parnell is trying to balance his conservative fiscal stance with the necessity for funding an important roadway for the state.
And it's tough for the governor. He's a fiscal conservative. He wants to see Congress get their spending in order, but, you know, the objective or the sort of the guidelines for me operating out here is that if the state of Alaska is targeted unfairly, then we have to try to advocate on our behalf. And this is one area probably where I don't think all the people involved in crafting the bill were fully aware of the details surrounding Shackwack.
Find out more about the Shackwack project through links on our KHNS News webpage. And now for our weekly essay feature, Small Things Considered. Here's Haynes writer Rosalie Lowen.
You never know where life will take you. This makes it hard to know what you're going to need when you get there. I'm not talking about things you put in a suitcase, although a good flashlight and a length of nylon cord are the exceptions that prove the rule. And I'm not talking about the tools that my husband sells at garage sales and then buys back again later. I'm talking about the skills that we acquire as we go through life. I never dreamed that my life would bring me to rural Alaska. I grew up in the outskirts of Boston and lived in big cities around the world. I spent years perfecting my urban skills and adaptations. I could drive freeways and parallel park. I could walk in high heels. I could calculate internal rates of return, negotiate cab fare in several languages, and make my way through any public transportation system without losing my wallet to a pickpocket. Then, in the lobby in Washington, D.C., I met a tall young man wearing an Alaska-grown T-shirt. It's that old story, and you know how it goes. Suddenly, Alaska didn't seem like the end of the earth. It seemed like a great adventure. But very few of my hard-won urban skills were applicable in rural Alaska. At first, it felt like I was starting from scratch. I had to learn how to drive on glare ice with blinding snow whipping up over my windshield. How to dress a toddler to play outside with the thermometer stuck in the single digits. How to feed my family without relying on takeout. And how to back away, slowly, from a brown bear. But I was also pleasantly surprised by the things I had brought with me. As a child, I learned to cross-country ski and play pond hockey during our chilly New England winters. And these skills, atrophied during my urban career, bring me great joy today. The EMT certification that I first did nearly 20 years ago as a summer program counselor sure comes in handy when the nearest hospital is a medevac flight away. And, of course, it is the basics that carry you through no matter where you are. A good attitude and a friendly smile even when the weather's been bad for a long time, will help you to make new friends in any language. The ability to laugh at yourself when your cooking sets off the fire alarm for the third time in a week is what it takes to learn new skills. And being able to ask for help and being willing to give it can get you out of a jam here or there. So, I don't waste my time regretting the things I've left behind because, well, you never know where life will take you next. My lesson to take away is this. If you live in a major metropolitan area and someone inexplicably offers to teach you how to drive a snow machine, take them up on it. You never know when it might come in handy.
That was Haynes writer Rosalie Lowen with our weekly essay feature, Small Things Considered. You can follow Rosalie's blog through a link on our KHNS News webpage. For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friedenauer. A note about our new schedule for the coming weeks. I'm taking a few weeks off for the holidays, but you'll hear a familiar voice next week when Adam Richard will be bringing you the news. And then the news will take a break for about a week. So have a wonderful holiday and a Merry New Year, and I'll be back with you in 2013. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.